Hey there, this is Sarah Bone, and I'm so happy you're joining me on the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our hope that these words help you know who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. Thanks for listening. Now let's dive in.
I this morning get to continue in a series that we've been in for a few weeks here. We've called this series Jesus in Love. Jesus in Love. And in this conversation, we are peering in on the way that Jesus showed up in different human relationships, right? And as believers of Jesus, right, it should be our desire to do what Jesus did, right? To mimic what he did and to show up in our relationships like he did with all of the people in our world. In essence, right, we should become like him and do what he did if he were us. Right, and so in this series, we've looked at how Jesus showed up in his relationships with family, right? We've looked at how he shows up in relationships with friends. A couple weeks ago, we took a look at how Jesus showed up in his relationship to his singleness. And then last week, we talked about how he interacts with his enemies, how he interacted with his enemies. And so today, as Kondo said, we get to talk about Jesus and kids. We're going to look at how Jesus interacted with children. And so some of you know this, but I started my ministry career as a children's pastor, did that for the majority of my ministry career. And so this topic is near and dear to my heart, maybe because my wife always says you're only as old as you act, which is pretty young for me, right? But I love this topic, and I'm so glad that we get to process it together today as a church. And there's an old saying as I was thinking about this message that I heard growing up, and maybe you heard it too, and it's the saying that kids should be seen and not heard. That kids should be seen and not heard. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah, right? You probably heard that children should be seen but not heard. It means that children should be visible, right? We could see them, but man, they should not speak. Essentially, it's saying that and implying that they should be quiet and respectful, not interrupting adults with their opinions or their comments or their behavior. And I'm sure many of you heard that over the years or grew up in that way. It's ultimately saying, being told to sit still, be quiet, don't make any noise, and definitely do not make any trouble, right? It's that saying that maybe you heard growing up, right? I know I did. Don't interrupt me at the grocery store when I ran into a friend that I know. Or don't tug on my pant leg in the church lobby when I'm talking to God's people. Or, man, do not be loud and rambunctious when I am on the phone, because this is an important phone call. And maybe you experienced this as a kid, right? This talking to that you got when you were a kid. When you go to Auntie Sue's house, oh, you better sit on that plastic-covered couch and behave, right? You don't play tag in the church lobby. And man, when you are in big church, you sit there quietly and you color. Right, and these are all respectful things in their own rights, but we know that kids do not act that way. That's not how kids operate, right? Kids bring the fun wherever they go, right? They can make a game out of almost anything, right? Kids are impulsive, or maybe still some adults, but kids are impulsive, more impulsive than we are as adults. And so they don't fit into our neatly packaged social norms to say, you got to be quiet over here and you don't interrupt over here. As Kondo mentioned, we have our elementary kids in this service today on purpose, right? And so what's up, elementary students? So glad that you are here today. And kids, here's the deal. If you've not been paying any attention to what I've been saying, I want you to listen up right now, because I want to know where you are in the auditorium. And so sometimes in MP Kids, when the lesson plays, on the lesson they say, hey-o, right? So, oh, you're right there. I love it. He's already speaking up. That's fantastic, right? So here's the deal. Kids, I want to know where you are. And so on the count of three, I want you to say the largest, biggest, loudest, hello, that you can. But here's the deal. Don't go like halfway with it. All right, these adults need to know you're in the room, and I am giving you permission to be loud in big church, sitting right next to your parents. It's the best thing. So don't miss this opportunity. Ready? On the count of three, the biggest hey yo you can give me. Ready? One, two, three. Man, that's awesome. I love that. That's great. If you didn't realize it, you're surrounded by kids today, which is intentional because we wanted them to be in this room to show us a lot of things. And that is the fun that they bring. Kids bring the fun. They make life so full. And they for sure are not always quiet, right? The reality is, I don't think that kids were only meant to be seen and not heard. And I think Jesus would agree with me, right? I mean, how did Jesus interact with children? Well, we're going to look at some of the scriptures. We see exactly how he interacted with kids in Matthew 19. If you have a Bible, you can open there. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 13. This is how Jesus interacted with children. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them, and Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now, I love this passage because Jesus demonstrates his love for kids. His love for kids. Vulnerable kids. And if you've been around Mission Point for any length of time, you know that phrase, that two-word phrase, vulnerable kids, because it's part of the heartbeat of our church as well. You see, children are often socially powerless, and they are dependent on others for their needs, which makes them vulnerable. And that was especially true in Jesus's day. Children were often overlooked or treated as second-class citizens. And the disciples, like us, had much to learn from Jesus about his kingdom and his kingdom purposes, because they were so focused on getting the ministry off the ground that they did not seem to have time for the littlest ones who did not wield any power. See, Jesus, on the other hand, right, he not only took time to see them, but to welcome them, to listen to these children, to interact with them, and to pray for them. And when I imagine this interaction, I see Jesus playing with the kids. I see him getting down and giving a fist bump to the little guy. I see him putting out his hand like this for a five and then pulling it away to play a little joke. Right? Maybe he tells a funny joke to engage the older kids, or maybe he misuses some of the teen slang or language of the day and saying something like skibbity Ohio, you know, Riz, skibbity Sigma, I don't know, right? Something like that, right? What I mean is, man, when I see Jesus in this story interacting with kids, I see him engaging with kids right where they are, in their vulnerability, in their dependency, and right in their need. He doesn't do what the disciples want and shoo them away. He doesn't ignore them saying, "I'm Jesus, I have more important things to attend to." No, no, no. Jesus stops everything and he welcomes the child in, and he enters into the worlds of these children and makes them a priority. You see, this is how Jesus interacts with children. And not only that, but he used it as a teachable moment for his disciples, because he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He gives the permission for the kids to come, but he also says the kingdom of God belongs to these children, belongs to those such as these, which is an incredible statement. Because the Bible often compares believers to children. In fact, Jesus told this, those who are following him, this in Matthew 18. He said, he called a little child to him and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Meaning, if you want to follow me, then you have to have a childlike faith and you have to trust in me. And you're going to have to change. You may have to get out of your normal social adult ways of thinking and become like a child and seek me like this child in our midst is seeking me. Oh, and keep it simple and don't overcomplicate it, because that's not what kids do. Kids keep it simple. Enjoy me like these children are enjoying being with me. And Jesus also acknowledges their vulnerable position as children, and he uses the term lowly here. He says, if you want to be great, you must be lowly like this child, vulnerable and dependent. Vulnerable and dependent. And I love that he ends by saying, if you welcome a child in my name, then you welcome me. I mean, that's huge. When we engage with kids, we are welcoming Jesus. Jesus not only showed us how to interact with children, he told us pretty directly, this is how you do it. And that's because Jesus cares deeply for kids. Jesus cares deeply for kids, so much so that he said this in Matthew chapter 18. He said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. You see, Jesus cares deeply for kids and he wants us to do the same. And he wants us to do the same. And when I think about how Jesus interacted with children, I think of my son, Caleb. Caleb is a 15-year-old sophomore here at Warsaw High School. He's a cross-country runner, and yes, he runs faster than his old dad. In many ways, Caleb is your average teenager, right? He does teenage things. He takes a long time to empty the dishwasher, right? I mean, those kind of things. He's your average teenager. But can I brag on my son for a little bit? There's something really cool about Caleb. Caleb is amazing with kids. He's amazing with kids, especially young kids. They flock to him like a magnet. Right, we have family and friends in Illinois and Indiana who think Caleb is the coolest person literally on the planet. And they want to spend as much extended time with him as possible. Caleb lives what Jesus did in this passage. He sees and he interacts with kids and he honors them as people. He talks with them about what they're interested in and he listens to them. And I'm always amazed that he often doesn't get tired, right? Whether it's playing in the joy jungle with a family friend or pretending to be in a battle alongside a four-year-old pretending to be Zelda, right? He engages with them on their level. I mean, just the other night, we were at a friend's house having dinner, and Caleb got up from the dinner table and entered into the playpen area of this little boy and started meeting him right where he was at his level. You know, Caleb builds real and true relationships with these kids that he loves, and here's the thing. He's a 15-year-old boy. I don't know a lot of 15-year-old boys who do that. Right? The reality is that he sees kids the way Jesus did. And let me tell you, as a dad, it warms my heart every single time I see it. Every single time. And I believe that our Heavenly Father does too. But I want to tell you something about Caleb. I think he's awesome. There's nothing special about Caleb. There's not. He just engages with kids the way Jesus does. He just engages with kids the way Jesus would want us all to engage with kids. And the reality is that many of us lose that as we get older, don't we? We get busy or we get tired and we forget to see and engage the children around us. But I think Jesus would remind us to open our eyes and to see them the way he sees them. So the question I have for you today is, how do you engage with kids? Would you rather kids be seen and not heard? Or do you engage with them like Jesus? I mean, the reality is that kids are a gift from God. We read that in Psalm 127 that says, children are a gift from the Lord and they are a reward from him. And we often read this verse when parents are having children, which is awesome, but they're not just a reward for parents and grandparents and family members. Oh no, kids are a gift from God for each one of us as we engage with them because they have much to teach us. They often remind us to keep our faith in Jesus simple and full of awe, right? Not only that, but kids can keep us focused on the mission, right? They tell it like it is, sometimes to our own chagrin, right? And they have simple questions that cut to the heart of things. And let's be honest, many times kids can do a better job of living out the mission than we do, right? Right? They have no problem telling their friend in their class or on the playground about Jesus. They just go for it. Right? Recently, I had a friend who told me a story that his small son saw a homeless person and said, man, why is he homeless and how can we help him? Right? Where we might just ignore. Kids see things in simple terms and can help us see the world through God's eyes and motivate us towards action. You know, someone sent me a quote recently that said this, if you treat kids like they're too young to do anything significant for the kingdom of God, they'll believe you. However, if you treat them like they're the church right now, called to do significant things for the kingdom of God, then guess what? They'll believe you. You see, kids have so much to offer in God's economy. And we can learn a lot from them. And to be honest, kids often lead the way. So the question for us is, how are we engaging with kids? Like Jesus? If not, then maybe now is the time because they might just surprise us and challenge us to live the mission that Jesus wants us to live. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this reminder of how you interacted with children. And I pray, God, that you would help remind us of how we can engage in ways that you did. Help us to see the way you see, engage the way you see. And God, I pray that you would help us to learn, to know that, man, kids aren't just the kids of the future, or the church of the future, but they are the church now. And so, God, we ask for your guidance and your blessing as we continue to engage in ways that you would engage. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You know, as a church, we want every single person to live on mission, right? Our mission statement says that we are a church that shows and shares the love of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. And guess what? That is true of you and me, and it's true of every single kid in this room. The reality is you don't, kids, adults, we don't believe that you have to wait until you're in college to do something significant for the kingdom of God. We believe that every single kid in here, every single kid that goes to Mission Point can live on mission and should live on mission just like every single adult. And so today, as Kondo said earlier, we're going to get a little bit of a glimpse into what that looks like for MP kids. So I'm going to invite Kondo and Jen to come out. And as they do, would you give them a huge round of applause, please?
Man, Jen and I this morning, we were just praying that the Lord would bless us with a large round of applause, and he answered our prayers.
Yeah, isn't that it's great. Thank you.
Oh, man. Can I just say again, so good to have you kids in the room. We love you so much, and we're going to challenge you. By the way, you guys have a memory verse. We're going to ask you to say it a little bit later on. So just get ready for that. But hey, some of you may not have had the privilege of meeting Jen Neer. She is a director of children's ministry, and she does such an incredible job making what we just heard a reality. Thank you.
I get
Jen.
Two applauses.
Two applauses for you.
Just one for you.
It's so competitive. Man, I love it as a parent how often my kids will come home and they'll, do you want to hear the verse that we memorized? You know, do you want to hear us try and say all the books of the Bible? And love the way that this is put on display in our children's ministry. And so we just thought, hey, why don't we just bring children's ministry into big church, as you all call it, today? And so I would love to get to know a little bit more about this. Here at Mission Point, what Michael just shared is something that we believe deeply, that the mission is not just for when you grow up. It is for today. It is for right now. It is not for, we believe kids are the kingdom. Not kids are the future, like they're the kingdom right now. And so I know you guys believe that deeply, and it shows up in your mission. It shows up in your core values. So maybe share those with us to invite us in.
All right. First of all, welcome, MP Kids. I want to encourage you guys, if you have not already done it, grab your booklets. Hopefully you got one when you walked in. Grab your booklets. You need to start taking notes. Last week we practiced, because I said you're going to be in big church, and you need to practice taking notes, and you did a fabulous job. So, all right, our mission, we wanted to keep it simple so people could remember it, so it is No Grow Show. We want our kids to come to have a personal relationship with Jesus, to know him, then we want them to grow in their faith. We do that by digging into God's word through prayer, coming to church and connecting with one another and learning from one another. And then we want the kids to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere they go. And we talk about how that applies to them in real life, in the classroom, on the playground, when you're on the soccer field, basketball court, whatever it is, you are sharing Jesus wherever you go. Then we have five core values, and as we look at curriculum, activities, events, we're looking to see if they meet these core values. So number one, Jesus is central. We are always reminding kids, the Bible is one big story, and it is all about Jesus, all the time. Even when we've been in the Old Testament, we're like, look ahead there. This is the Christ connection. God is showing them, telling them a Messiah is coming. It is always about Jesus. Number two, safety is first. And for me, I cannot tell you, this is so important to me. Jesus is central. Safety is the next, like they may be pretty closely related, because if our kids are not safe in the children's area, as parents, you shouldn't want to leave them with us. They'll never hear about Jesus if we're not providing a safe environment. So, especially in a portable church, that is sometimes pretty difficult. There are lots of people that come in on Sunday mornings that actually don't go to church here. It may be a sporting event or events. It may be trainings. There are lots of things happening in this building on Sunday mornings. And we want to keep our kids safe. So I tell our volunteers, it may sound extreme, but we've got to follow procedures. And that means if Kondo Simfukwe comes back to pick up his girls and he does not have a tag, he does not get to pass the carts. Like, no exceptions.
I have been stopped.
No exceptions. And I love that the volunteers, they're like, we're buying into this. And yeah, we're going to help keep kids safe too. So when we've had new facilities people come on, if they don't have a tag, they're like, I'm sorry, who are you? Can you tell me who you are? I love it. So safety is first. Number three, connection is key. We want our kids connecting with each other. That is so important. But we really want our kids connecting with the adult volunteers who are serving with them. And that is why we have wanted our volunteers to serve every other week. The consistency just helps build relationships. So our volunteers find out things that matter to the kids. Hey, can you please pray for my grandma or my cat, or I've got a test coming up that I'm kind of concerned about. And they can follow up and be like, hey, how did that test go? Building relationships and connecting is key. Number four, relevance is fun. We want to establish a solid biblical foundation from kindergarten through sixth grade. So by the time they go to MP students, they know some things. They know what is crucial and key. But we also want it to be fun. We want to incorporate games and fun stories into the lessons. So whenever I can, I love telling stories. So I'll tell the kids, my own three are now grown, but I'll tell stories from when they were little. They love that. Or stories about me and things I've done. And helping them to understand that just because we're grown-ups, we don't always have it figured out. So try to make things fun, and even in small group time as well, it's like it may be a biblical concept, but they're doing it in a fun way, as a game or an activity. And number five, mission is life. We love any chance we have to tell our kids about our mission partners. We're collecting funds for one of them each month. And so we talk in class about here's what they do and why they're doing it. And this is how we need to get involved. Or global missions, but most importantly, what are these kids doing right where they are at? And I say, you are not to wait until you are a grown-up to live on mission. It starts now. Amen. So yeah, those are our five.
Amazing, amazing. And again, to think through what Jesus says about kids. Don't push them away, don't push them into the future. Invite them to me right now. And it's just beautiful to hear the way that you all do that. Especially, I think, at times, Jen, we will hear about kids' ministry, and there's this snootiness in us as adults that believe like, oh, bless their little hearts over there. So it's great to be reminded, oh, no, we don't believe the Holy Spirit is moving more in this area of the church than he's moving in that area. We don't believe he's calling us to greater things than he's calling the kids over there. We don't believe he wants them to know, you know, his word any less than he wants us to know his word. And sometimes it's like, hey, I guess I'll serve in children's ministry, almost like as a favor to God. And I think which just reiterates what Jesus says, don't treat them like they're second-class citizens, like they are part of what I'm doing right now. That is so exciting. And yes, I've been stopped. The safety thing is real, y'all. And I love what you said. We cannot say we value kids like Jesus values kids because we will always protect what we value. And so I love the very stringent security measures you all take. Let me ask this. So let's assume we all got a pass and we went through your 17 security checkpoints and all of us made it into the kids wing on a Sunday morning. And you were sharing with the kids about knowing Jesus and growing in Jesus and showing Jesus. What might that sound like? What might a lesson sound like willing to share?
Yes, I will do that right now.
Oh,
we're
going to
do a little bit of
that's okay, then yeah, let's hand it over. You need props.
Little scenery like, change here.
Okay, yeah,
setting
we're not
the stage.
As cool over here.
Thank you. So we have been doing an Advent curriculum. And I know that for the 10:45 service, I'm normally the one that teaches the kids. So you guys might have thought, oh, we're in big church. We don't have to listen to Miss Jen today. Sorry. We have 4 weeks. And when Kondo approached me and said, hey, I'm thinking about for the fourth week, you know, it's Jesus and children, having kids in the big church, how do you feel about that? And I was like, I really don't want them to miss week four of our series. So we are going to do that right now. So we're going to do some review if there are kids who missed a few weeks. So this is going to be interactive because that's the way that it is in children's church. So trim a tree was our theme. So we have our little Charlie Brown Christmas tree here. And each week we have had an ornament with an Advent word and we've hung it. So we are going to, as we review, hang these up. So kids, week one, our Advent word was what? Say it with confidence. Hope. There we go. So we're going to put hope up there. Boop, there we go. And in your booklets, our takeaway, we have hope that God will do what he promised. We talked about the prophet Isaiah and how God gave him a message to talk about the coming Messiah. How many years, guys, from that first prophecy from Isaiah until Jesus was born, how many years passed? Thank you, 700 years. Woo, nothing like us where we're like, Christmas can't come fast enough. It's so far away. Imagine waiting 700 years. Wow. All right. Week two, our word was love. Good job. We're going to put love up on the tree. There we go. And our takeaway from week two was we can receive the gift of God's love. We talked about Mary, how she was visited by an angel, told she would have a baby in a non-traditional way, and I loved Mary's posture and response. It was, I hope it happens just like you said. She received that gift. I'm sure it would have been terrifying and all the things, but I loved her response and later her praise to God. All right, week three, what was our word? What was it? Peace, there we go. We're gonna get peace on the tree. We'll see if it stays, there we go. Our takeaway from week three was we can experience God's peace when we trust and obey him. And I loved, we talked about Joseph and we said, you know, we feel like Joe is a bit underrated. Like he was a vital part of God's plan. And I loved, angels came, told him three different times, different things to do. And it, I'm sure, sounded crazy, but Joe trusted God and he obeyed. All right. Week four, here we are, our last Advent word. You got it? Oh, somebody's saying it when we didn't even go over it. Joy. It's not going to stay. Joy. Our Bible passage today tells us about some guys who experienced joy. And I thought instead of reading the Bible passage myself, it would be so much better to hear it from kids who actually read it when we recorded it last year. So feel free to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, but the words will also be on the screen.
Love it.
Love that story. Joy was not the initial response of the shepherds when the angel first appeared. Do you think their response, kids, was kind of like some of our fifth and sixth grade boys when they saw the angel, were they like, yeah, whatever, I mean, kind of lame. No, what was the response of the shepherds? Thank you. They were terrified, it said. All right. I have some guest shepherds today who are going to help us to kind of visualize this next part, kind of help the story come to life. So shepherds, are you ready? You're herding your sheep. Yes. All right. So shepherds, like I was saying, when the angel first appeared, the shepherds were terrified. Pretty good, right? Pretty good. But when the angel announced the arrival of the Messiah nearby, their response changed. They said, "We need to go check this out for ourselves." They ran into town. They found the baby Jesus. And they told everyone who would listen what the angel said about the baby. Then they went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Well done, shepherds. That's awesome. There we go. That may have been what it looked like that night. We don't know. So this leads to our takeaway for this week. We can be filled with joy when we accept the good news. Kids, write that down in your books. We can be filled with joy when we accept the good news. Just like the shepherds, God is inviting us to accept the good news. The good news that Jesus was born, he lived a sinless life, and he died the death we deserved. When we believe in Jesus and ask him to forgive us and be our Savior, we are filled with an unchangeable joy. And I love those two words, unchangeable joy. Even when our emotions are like this, we can have an unchangeable joy. We can have peace. Even through the crazy and the chaos, we can have peace. We can have joy. And when we keep the good news of Jesus' birth at the center of our focus this Christmas, we will have joy that is so much better, and I know this is going to be hard for you kids to believe, so much better than any toy or any gift you could ever receive. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all, I might put this Christmas tree down here. It'll be so awkward if it breaks. Such an incredible thing, again, to know this is what our kids are being invited to week after week, to the person of Jesus, to his joy, to his peace, to his hope, to his love. And so, Jen, thank you. Kids, so cool to hear you all in the house of the Lord teaching us how to take notes. You need to teach your parents how to take notes in church. And being so responsive and so engaging. Now, we've heard rumors that you all have this memory verse. And so can somebody tell me, kids, what is your memory verse for this Advent series? Oh, you guys are saying the verse.
Not even going to give the reference.
Not even going to tell me what the verse. That was really good, whoever started to say. In fact, let's do this. Yeah. If you kids want to stand, if you're in the room, stand, and we're going to have you try and say the verse. Come on, kids.
You've got it.
There you are. You guys can do this.
You know it.
We believe. Oh, man.
Do it.
Yes, sir. I love that. The inner child stands up. All right. The kids are memorizing John chapter 3, verse 16. And so if you are someone who was once a kid and you know John 3:16 by heart. In fact, let's take it off the screen. We'll put it up at the end to see if we were close. Thank you. All right. Here we go. You guys ready? Let's go.
For God so loved. Yes.
Okay. All right, hang on a second, kids. We're not done. We would love for you to please stay standing. If you're in elementary school or if you're younger than elementary school and you want to stand, please stand. We would love to pray with you. All of the people in this room love you all so much, and we believe Jesus wants to do such special things in your lives and through your lives. And so, elementary students, come on, stand where you are. And the rest of us, if you're near a kid or you can see a kid, just stretch your hand in their direction. We are going to say a prayer for these kids even now. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the children in the room. Thank you so much for how much you love them. Thank you that you have plans for them that don't wait till they're grown up. You want to do great things through them right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you want every kid in this room to know you today. You want them to grow closer to you today, and you want them to tell all of their friends about you today. And so we pray that you'd protect every child in this room. We pray that you'd fill them with your joy and your love and your peace and your hope. Even now, use them in incredible ways to lead us, to teach us, to show us more of what you are like, because your kingdom is for them. We love them, and we know that you love them even more. And so we pray for them. Commit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to see you in person next Sunday at either 9 or 10:45 a.m. at the Warsaw High School Performing Arts Center. For more information, visit us at missionpoint.net. Have a great week.